one of the key needs we are born with is connection. So imagine that when I am dealing with all this amount of emotions, right, I am sent to be on my own. It's even more overwhelming, and it creates this unsafety feeling that when I am dealing with this deep stuff, I'm on my own.
83% of Americans identify as not very happy, which can hold you back and negatively affect your relationships and your business. On this podcast, we discuss the proven steps to happiness so you can restore balance and rekindle your joy.
Welcome to another edition of How to Be Happier for Entrepreneurs. I'm always excited, but I love parenting and relationships. We're going to talk a lot about that today with our guest, Michelle. Michelle, how are you today?
Hello, Brad. I'm very happy to be here. Thank you for having me.
Oh, you're so welcome. So we always just jump right into the meat of our conversations, right? So my question to you, Michelle, is how can parenting lead one to heal their inner child and find more happiness in life?
Wow, what a great question. So I think we've all heard many, many times that like our kids are our best teachers. And for me, for many years, that meant something. But now that I am a mother and I've been dealing with parenting and having kids that are so different to me, it started getting more sense and gaining more meaning on why they are really our teachers. And the way I see it is that also our kids allow us to see what we need to work on ourselves, where our triggers are, where our wounds are, where we are stable, what makes us happy, what anguishes us. So by allowing them to give us that information, by allowing ourselves as well to feel those emotions, we get information all the time, not only about them, but about who we are, what we need to still work on. So for me, they are my best mirror to know what I need to work on. And, you know, and I'm an RTT therapist as well. And when I work with people, I can see how when they work around things that have to do with their kids, how they are really mirroring what they need to work as well. So I think that's one of the key things about this topic.
So you mentioned RTT. For those of you who are like, what the heck is RTT? If you want to figure it or find out more information, go to bradchandler.com/RTT. And there's a short video. It's actually where Michelle and I met, gosh, about a year and a half ago in Los Angeles. So loved your answer. Let's get a little more granular. I asked my daughter to unload the dishwasher 3 times and she doesn't. And I get really angry at her and I yell at her. What does that show me about myself? What could I learn from that event? Because that was Brad of the past.
Absolutely. So kids tend to trigger us. Our kids tend to trigger us. And what's a trigger? I think we should begin with that. A trigger is something that is happening in the moment, in the present, that brings an emotion from the past, right? So what happens is that sometimes we believe that as parents, our kids are brought to our lives so they can follow our instructions, so they can meet our needs, so they can be who we believe they should be. And then we realize that it's the other way around, right? They came here to be who they are, if we allow that to happen, which that could be the best thing we can do. And of course, what gets triggered is something, as you were saying, from Brad from the past, not only the Brad from that moment, but the Brad from childhood. So, right, sometimes the one that is responding, the one that is being triggered or having these feelings is that inner child. So sometimes what we see is that our clients are having behaviors that bring those memories to us. We don't see the memories, but we have the feelings from the past. And if we are not aware enough, if we are not willing to see what that creates in us, we will only put it on them, right? So, and we sometimes lose of sight that they are kids or teenagers, just being kids or teenagers, right? And we put all these expectations on them sometimes, and we want them to be our presentation cards, right? We believe that if they are well-behaved, perfectly hair, perfectly done, that talks about us. But then we miss of sight that they are here to be like independent people with unique personalities, with unique points of view. So it's a game that we have to be playing all the time on whatever is triggering me from my child is talking about me as well, not only about them. And we should be able to regulate not only their emotions, but sometimes our own inner child's emotions.
So are you telling me that when I'm mad at my daughter for not unloading the dishwasher, it has nothing to do about with the dishwasher?
So yeah, it could be, but why does it make you mad? Because why do you get angry at some point? Because something is triggering you. Maybe it's because you want to feel heard and seen and acknowledged more than what it's talking about the dishwasher, if that makes sense, right? Because if you were detached from emotion, from feelings there, maybe it was not your child, your daughter, but it was somebody else, you would say, okay, I'm going to give you a couple of instructions and I need you to just follow them. But without this emotion involved, why the kids, our daughters, our sons trigger us? It's because we are connected emotionally to what they do and we apply and we put some meaning to their actions that in regards to us, if that makes sense. So if she's not loading the dishwasher, it's because she's not recognizing me. I'm just making this up, right? But maybe it's the feeling inside. She's not recognizing me and she's not validating my voice or what I need. So we make it so personal, but sometimes it's not. Sometimes it becomes, because that's how we get into this vicious circle, or it can be a virtuous circle as well. But it's not talking about the behavior. It's talking about the emotion and what we interpret, right? As we know, interpretation of events is what brings the most important load of it. What we interpret about that action or that behavior the kid is having, right? We assume is because they don't recognize us and we need to feel seen in order to feel lovable or in order to feel worthy. So that behavior is triggering deep things deep inside of us that if we are aware and if we're willing to work on ourselves as well, we can identify and then work on healing. So that connection can be different. So the reaction, instead of being a reaction, can be a response. If my daughter is not doing that, maybe I cannot take it that personal and I can respond and give instructions and maybe lead with the example and say, okay, you have to do this. Do you want to do it by yourself or can I help you? But this needs to be done, right? For example. So it can be different, but yeah. Definitely our kids trigger deep stuff in us.
Yeah. So a couple of podcast guests before Shelley Lefko, we talked a lot about beliefs and how an event is just an event, but we as human beings always put a meaning on it. So you hit the nail on the head because I've processed this because that would happen. My daughter wouldn't do the dishes. I would get angry. I might yell at her. And as I've processed this, it was a thought creates an emotion creates a behavior. In my situation, I felt angry. And Eckhart Tolle always says that anger is always underlying sadness, usually. Right. And so I got sad because I'm thinking, okay, she doesn't love me. She's not listening to me. She doesn't love me. And therefore, I'm not enough. And that's what triggered everything. So now I'm able to see, hey, it's not that she doesn't love me. She's a teenager, just wants to be on the phone. So Michelle, is this the same thing that happens in intimate relationships, that the fighting and the argument isn't about the actual argument? It's about something from both of their past that they're bringing in?
Absolutely. I think that the deeper the connection, the deeper the relationship, the more it triggers our wounds, right? Our unhealed wounds, our unresolved issues from childhood usually or from teenage years, because those are the people, if we are not really deeply connected and healed, we keep looking for approval instead of acceptance, if that makes sense, right? So if there's something triggered that allows me to believe that you're not taking me or you're not approving of me, that would hurt me and made me, if I'm not healed, believe that it's because I am not worthy of your attention. And that hurts me and that makes me react in a way, or worthy of your love. So the deeper the connection, right? That's why it happens with family, with partners, with our kids, because those are the people that we would hope for more acceptance and less approval from. But usually we are trained and we are raised in a different way, looking for more approval and less acceptance. Acceptance is like, however you are good enough, you are lovable, you're worthy. I care and I love you the way you are, right? But sometimes we believe in order for you to accept me and love me, I need to fulfill this checkboxes so you can approve of me. So we keep looking for that approval. And if we believe we're not getting it, it wounds us. It just like puts the finger on the wound and it hurts us. And then we react.
And so you think the reason that the people closest to us usually trigger us the most is because we want their approval and acceptance more than like a stranger?
Yeah, absolutely. Yes. Because we believe if they know me better, they should approve of me. right? And we should be looking and giving to our kids, to our family, to anyone, acceptance. Like, you don't need to do anything to get me to see you, to love you, to care for you, to realize how amazing you are, just the way you are. Sometimes we keep looking for that, the same way we believe others expect us to be fulfilling those things, so we can get that approval instead of that acceptance with all of who we are, or all of who they are as well.
Yeah, doesn't it start with, you've got to have acceptance for yourself, accept your full self?
Absolutely. Yes, totally.
Yeah, I was listening to a podcast that got, I think of the guy's name in a couple of minutes, in the sauna the other day, and he was like, you can't fully open your heart and thus connect with another human being until you fully accept yourself. Jack Kornfield, I love that guy. That's who it was.
Yeah.
So why do you think kids misbehave, Michelle?
Many reasons, but mainly I would say, and I love this that I got from you, Brad, and I love it, and I have incorporated it to my life and my practice and everything, right? Everything is either a call for love or a show of love. So why is my kid misbehaving? It's asking for my love. It's asking to be seen. It's asking to be connecting. Like, it's asking for your connection. And I have tried that with my kids. Of course, we come up with loads of information from how we were raised and how we have seen life for so long. And I remember one of the persons I love to follow, it's Dr. Shefali Sabari, who has this conscious parenting approach, and I love it. And I remember, like, having my first, my daughter, which is the eldest one, like, she was little and she was a bit challenging and she was so different to me. And I feel like I have to be putting limits all the time. And this is a yes and this is a no, because I believe I have to be molding her and forming her. And until I realized this is who she is, and I have to respect her. So allowing them to be who they are and connecting reduces so much the misbehaving. Because when they misbehave, when they have tantrums or when they are challenging, what they are asking is, I think, a couple of things. See me, accept me, love me, respect me, right? Respect me for who I am. So the more, in my experience with my kids, they are both very different between them, and they are both very different to me and my husband. So the more I can see them for who they are, the better they behave. The more I can see, I can connect with them before I can correct them. And it's an ongoing practice, right? But the more I can do that, the better connection we have, the better communication we have, and the less they start misbehaving. Sometimes they misbehaved more when I was around. And my mom even said that to me, like, when you're around, it's so different. And suddenly it has shifted somehow. When they are around me, usually they are more calmed because they feel safe, right? And their nervous system is just safe, right? And sometimes when we push their buttons, their whole system just gets an alert and they start behaving in different ways, trying to get attention, trying to get acceptance or approval, or trying to be seen. So I believe it's a call for love when a child misbehaves. And instead of addressing it from a punishing perspective or from finger pointing perspective or trying to suppress and to diminish the children, it's, I see you, I hear you. Even if you're a child, whatever you have to say, whatever you're feeling is validated and I can hear you. So I think it's a different approach.
Yeah, for sure. My friend Larry years ago told me it's not our job as parents to keep our kids out of trauma. It's to teach them how to get out of the trauma in the quickest possible way.
Yeah, I agree. Love it.
So back to connection. And so kids misbehave for one reason and one reason only is what Gabor Mate says, and that's lack of connection. You said it in a different way, which is a call for love, right? They're either showing love or they're calling for love. How do most parents respond when their kids are misbehaving?
Usually it's like trying to put a limit, right? But it's stopping. Like, this is not accepted. You have to stop right there. This is the way you should be behaving. While the first step should be, I connect with you.
Connect.
I see you. I hear you. I listen to what you're telling me, like verbally and non-verbally. What is the child telling, right? And also, again, it's two things are happening at the same time because it's something with my child, but it's something happening with me, right? It's like we're raising at the same time our inner child and our own child, right? And allowing to connect with them allows us to connect with ourselves, and allowing to feel and to hear and to see our child allows us to connect to ourselves as well and to see ourselves. So it's in a way is I connect with you first. I hear you, right? Even if we can lower to their size and we can see them eye to eye and ask them to connect, right? And you're safe and I contain you because they are learning. Different ages require different methods, but when they are small, they are little, we need to contain them as well physically sometimes. And then once their system is regulated, then we can see, okay, but this is not acceptable or this is acceptable. So how can we change it if it requires to be done by that way? But the first thing is I see you, I hear you, and I validate. Like, yeah, I realize that you have a need in order right now taking place. So now we can correct in a nice way where I am calmed, where you are calmed, and let's do something about it if needed. Right. But not the first approach, just being stopping and impacting and like paralyzing the system has an opposite outcome. Right.
Yeah. So most parents, not most, but a lot of parents, when the kid misbehaves, punishment, right? Timeout, spankings. What are your views on timeouts and spankings?
Yeah. So what is a timeout telling the child? Because usually the timeout is be by yourself. So what are they learning? When I have this flood of emotions, I cannot count on anyone, right? So we can say, what do you need? Do you need time? Where do you want to be, right? Because right now this cannot keep going. So if you want to go to your room, sometimes I even go and stay and say, I am here. Whenever you need me, whenever you need a hug, I'm here, right? But if you need time, let's have it. But sending a timeout doesn't have the best results because what's the belief that it's being created? If I do something wrong, I will be relegated. I will be pushed out of the community. And remember that one of the key needs we are born with is connection. So imagine that when I am dealing with all this amount of emotions, right, I am sent to be on my own. It's even more overwhelming and it creates this unsafety feeling that when I am dealing with this deep stuff, I'm on my own, right? So it's okay to have some time, but I'm here. And whenever you need it, I'm here to give you a hug. Or do you need a hug right now? And then you can think a little, right? First, we let them know they are safe, they are contained, and we are there. And then we can correct again. So send timeouts, punishing. It's better to connect again and correct. And if we can model the behavior better, right? They're observing all the time. So even if we believe now she's a preteen or she's a teenager, they are still observing. They are still learning how to cope with emotions, how to deal with overwhelming moments, how to connect and creating this new ways of, okay, even if I feel terrible and I want to scream and shout and yell, I can allow myself, knowing that I'm safe and somebody's there, I can allow myself to come back to my own like safe state. And then it's okay. I can repair. Sometimes kids are treated as if there was no repair to what they did, right? And no, they need to realize I can definitely do that. And I am loved no matter what, unconditional love, right? There from parents. And the more we do it, connecting it with healing our own inner child, the more we do it for our children, we are allowing our inner child to know it as well, to feel it as well, right? To realize, okay, maybe I was not raised like this, but if I am able to do this as an adult for my kids, that means that I also deserve it. So it's a healing process as well.
So the child is misbehaving because they feel disconnected. And then what so many parents do is either put them in timeout or spank them, which is further disconnecting them. Mm-hmm. I have a healer friend who told me a story about he was working with an adult that had a lot of issues as an adult. And when he took him back to childhood, when his parents would put him in timeout or shut him in his room for 5 or 10 minutes, the children don't know the concept of time. So that child literally had the thought that, are my parents ever coming back? Am I going to stay in this room and die? Like, yeah. And people may laugh at that, but I know with the hundreds of people you and I have helped, it's a real thing. Like, you don't need to be locked in a cage or something or sexually abused to have issues that cause major issues as an adult, right? Mm-hmm. And this is an example, like sending a kid to his room, he or she may be like, I don't know when I'm ever going to get out of here. So
yeah. And something interesting happens. Like, I don't know if I will ever be taken out of here. And also, if they sent me here, right, usually the belief formed and the feeling is like, is because they don't love me, right? Mm-hmm. And that just stays in that subconscious level and it just grows with you. And then you start connecting in life and with people through that belief, right? If my parents didn't love me, who will ever love me? So then you are walking around with a shield, trying to protect yourself or not connecting in a deep way. And so these little things that seem so simple, like, oh, I just sent him to his room and I said, you're that terrible kid or you shouldn't do that. Like, well, it doesn't have a deep effect. No, it does. It does. So it's this awareness and yeah, this conscious of the impact our words and our behaviors and our actions have in our kids, right? And that it's tough, but yeah, what we do will really make an imprint in them for life.
What do you currently do regarding working with the parent-child connection with clients?
So the main technique I use now with clients is RTT, as you know, and there are a couple of tools that are really, really to help heal the inner child. So one of those tools is, okay, go for that child and allow that younger version of yourself, allow them to see that your life is different now, right? That whatever they were experiencing, because what happens is that when a child experiences some emotional issues, then we become adults that emotionally still live in that moment, mm-hmm. in that state, in those beliefs. Mm-hmm. So what we want to do is, in that subconscious level, bring the child and say, guess what? That's not your reality anymore. This is your reality now. And we show them what they didn't have before, right? If the child was lacking safety, you show them safety. If the child was lacking love or connection, you show them the love and connection they have now. Because if you realize sometimes we see people that are adults with families and they have a husband or a wife and they have children and they have a good life, but inside they still feel this loneliness. They still feel this hurt, this pain. It's not the adult feeling that. It's the child. So we work with the child and we show them this is your reality now. Right? Another tool that it's very powerful is becoming, like, working for the child, with the child, and the adult that you are now becomes the parent for this child, right? It's called reparenting. And there are many books around it because it's so powerful.
So you're reparenting yourself to give yes. yourself the love and whatever you didn't get, whatever those needs weren't met as a child, you can give those needs as an adult.
Exactly. You as the adult you are now are meeting the needs of that child. So, of course, the inner child sounds very metaphoric, but it's very real, right? And it lives and resides in you, and it needs healing and love and attention and to be heard as well, right? We connect through intuition with our inner child. So, yeah, you are meeting the needs of that child that it's you, right? Your previous version, but still alive, let's say, and you're meeting those needs. So emotionally, as an adult, you stop looking for other adults to keep fulfilling those needs, right? That's why we see sometimes adults that are looking for someone to protect me. I need someone to let me know that I am lovable. Because if those needs were not met as a child, the mind keeps longing for them. So mm-hmm. then we become adults looking for somebody to fulfill them. But then we can realize, oh, I'm an adult, so I can do that for myself. And that's absolutely powerful, right?
So most people who are suffering are really just like adults or six-year-olds inside of adult bodies, aren't they?
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's why sometimes it doesn't make sense, right? I think you've seen it, Brad. And I also have seen it with a lot of my clients that they say, it doesn't make sense. Like for my logic mind, it doesn't make sense why I am feeling this way because my life doesn't match my internal emotions
yeah.
and my feelings and how I behave, right? But it's not the adult feeling that, it's the inner child. So healing our inner child allows us to have a much better life.
So if you're curious, if you have these unmet childhood needs, you can literally find it out in 3 minutes. It can be the first step to changing your life forever. I developed a 3-minute, 12-question self-love quiz. Just go to bradchandler.com/quiz and just take it and see. And if you lack self-love or you have mild self-love, there's a good chance that some of these things are affecting you and your relationships and your health and your business. So Michelle, oftentimes parents can't deal with their kids' emotions because they grew up in houses where they were never taught, or if they showed emotions, it was really, really bad and like more punishment came. Do you see that? And can you speak to that a little bit?
Yeah, I get to see that a lot with clients. And of course, we usually, if we don't work on ourselves, we tend to replicate the way we grew up and how we learned to connect with others, and we replicate what our parents did with us, right? Of course, with our best interests at heart. I think we've all heard like, yeah, I grew up in a home where this was happening and this was made, and see me, I'm doing so good today. Yeah, we had a lot of trauma and a lot of wounds, right? So let's try not to keep passing that to our kids. And, but yeah, so a lot of us grow up with, like, it's not my specific case, but a lot of adults that we see keep bringing trauma from the past and pain from the past. So I think the step number one is realizing that, and realizing that there can be a better way of living and feeling and connecting to yourself and connecting to your kids and your partner in life and your family, right? Because one who reacts to things and to situations is the inner child. So the more we heal it, the more we can have a better relationship with our mom, with our dad, with our siblings, with our partner, with our kids. So it's first of all realizing I can have a better life, right? Sometimes I see this hopelessness, like this is just how life is, so why even bother? And the truth is that no, you can really have a better life and feel and see life in a different way.
So this probably takes years to fix, doesn't it?
No, depending. If you go to an RTT session, it's impressive. It's impressive how quickly that happens and how much healing you can get in one session, in two sessions, right?
It is.
It's just diving into the subconscious mind and working with the deep stuff, not with the superficial part.
How many of your clients have been to therapy for decades and then come to you and in a couple of sessions are like, this is incredible. I can't believe what you did. And to help me, it helped me more in two sessions than 20 years of therapy. Do you hear that much?
Absolutely. It's impressive. It's still amazes me because I've had many clients that come to therapy sometimes and say, Michelle, I want to work on this issue. I've been in therapy for 5-7 years. I know what this is about, but I want to try this. And then we just dive into the subconscious mind. We have a deep, profound session. And then they realize, okay, I've been working 5 or 7 years in the wrong matter, right? I was just moving things and diving into things that were not really the root cause of this issue. So in one session, sometimes in two sessions, sometimes it's a life-changing experience for them. And it's just amazing. Yeah. Like years of therapy versus 1 month of life-changing process, 2 months of life-changing processes.
And you've seen this because you've been involved at RTT and all the coach. I mean, you've seen this not just a couple of times, thousands of times.
Yeah.
From your own vault of hundreds of client success stories, can you pick one that kind of stands above where you can just tell us that, hey, this client came with this and this is what happened and how their life changed?
Okay. So like in any issue? Or
sure.
Something
that was like the person was really, really mm-hmm. struggling with deep depression or terrible anxiety or addiction, and you helped them fairly quickly.
Yeah. Okay. Many success stories, thankfully. I love one that is very, very obvious and very visual, because this client came because she had this fear of driving, this panic of driving. And she was telling me from the conscious mind, I know where this comes from because I was in a couple of car accidents, right? So when I was this age, I was in a car accident. So I know, but I've been in therapy and I cannot drive. I have a car. I have a great job and I want to get better positions, but I need to be moving. But I am 40 and somebody has to drive me to wherever I need to go, right? So it doesn't make sense. So then we did the session and she was on therapy. She did many, many things. And then on the session, everything that she realized is that the moments where she got to have attention were in the car while somebody was driving her, right? So realizing I'm in the car and my mom is looking at me and she's paying attention and she's smiling and I'm connecting, right? Because she's driving and I'm in the co-pilot seat, right? And then another scene and then with the father. So then she realized, of course, the connection made and finding the root cause was, of course, if this, what my mind created was, if I drive, I will lose this, right? Driving me, somebody connecting with me, somebody seeing me. But then she's realized, yeah, but I'm an adult. If I want to connect with my mom, I can go and have a cup of coffee and I can call her and I'm not a child anymore. I can drive being by myself. I can sing. I can enjoy that moment on my own. And that connection can come in another way. So a couple of hours after the session, after 40 years of or 20 years of not driving, right? Since she had a car, she called me, Michelle, I'm driving. And then a couple of weeks after, Michelle, I'm driving on the highway, it just clicked, right? We found the real reason, we transformed it. And then the superficial part, the symptom disappears.
Wow.
With anxiety, it happens amazingly as well. Like sometimes it's like, it's just the way I am. And then you get to the bottom of it. And it's the belief that I'm not safe, or if I am myself, I will not be loved. And then you transform that. And the symptom that in this case was the anxiety just starts dissipating, or I cannot be myself. So when you install in the subconscious mind, self-love, self-connection, lovability, realizing that the way they are is perfect, that it's not about perfection, it's about progression. When those things change inside from within, the symptom doesn't have a reason to exist. So yeah, it's every session is amazing.
One of the probably the most amazing things that RTT taught me was that our subconscious mind knows the source of all of our problems. And again, you and I have seen this hundreds and hundreds of times. We present the problem in a hypnotic, relaxed state so that the client can focus on their subconscious mind. And boom, like it just comes. They're like, oh, this is the reason. This is partly why I'm so passionate about and I'm so fascinated and interested in this is because we have billions of people on this planet that are suffering mightily with addiction and weight issues and terrible relationships and health. And their mind knows exactly the source of their problem, but it's doing it to protect it from something that it thinks is real. But it isn't real because it was just the story, like you said, that they brought forward from their childhood. That to me, this is why I have this podcast. This is why I'm talking to you. I want everyone to know that if you're suffering, it's not your fault. And there is a reason you're suffering. And it's because you're trying to protect yourself and your subconscious mind knows exactly what it's doing and actually wants you where it wants you. But there's a better way that, like you said, in a couple of sessions, everything can change in your life. So I know that's why you do the work too. So it's quite amazing.
It's amazing. Yeah. And yeah. And what they find as well is that the answer is within. Sometimes the world and all the information we get is that we have to be seeking for the change outside. We're seeking for the help. And once they realize, okay, the answers that you were saying are inside of me, the change has to come from within. It's so much easier and so simple because the change just feels natural because you are changing. You're not putting that effort to transform things. You're just changing from within by changing the way you feel about things, the things you believe, how you see life, how you can connect. And I always say we can never have an external world above, right, from our internal world.
Yeah.
So if something is happening outside, just dive inside and just raise that internal world because you will always have in the outside what's happening inside. So if you don't really love what's happening outside, like dive in and get some help. And there are great techniques. RTT is, in my experience, is amazing and impressive, right? And raise that internal world, raise the way you see yourself, raise the way, it sounds easy, but it's easy with RTT, but you have to raise that self-love, that self-awareness, that knowing and believing you're lovable, you're worthy, you're enough, you deserve things, you can have things. When that changes inside of you and you really believe it and feel it, your external world just matches it because everything vibrates in the unit. So it's a vibration thing. So you raise your vibration, you raise the way you feel, believe, think, and act. And your world transforms.
Yeah, my world transformed. And it's crazy how everything kind of just works out for me now. And I think it's because my vibration has risen. And instead of looking at the world as a scary, negative place, I look at it as this beautiful place full of opportunity. Two questions as we close. How do people get in touch with you? And what do you think has been your greatest life lesson?
So how do people get in touch with me? You can contact me on Instagram at Michelle y Daniela. It's in Spanish. Michelle y Daniela Parlange. Or if you want to contact me on WhatsApp, my phone number would be 52-55-35-65-9851. And one of the key things I've experienced... I'm sorry, what was the last
question? Well, first of all, that's a long number. I'm pretty impressed that you remember that.
And I translated it in the moment.
What's been your greatest life lesson to date?
My greatest life lesson? I think the key one is how to love myself and stop looking for other people to tell me who I am or how worthy I am or how I'm doing things and start listening to myself. Believing in myself, loving myself for who I am, not for who I want to be or who I want other people to see that I am. And I think that's what I keep learning. And I hope with that, I can be an example for the people I love, the people I care for, my kids, and connect in a real way, right, with people around me.
Awesome. Michelle, thank you so much. That was awesome.
Thank you, Brad.
That concludes another episode of How to Be Happier for Entrepreneurs. Remember, I'm on a mission to help 1 million people change their life by finding freedom and happiness that they deserve by reversing these limiting childhood beliefs. And so I need your help. If you like this show, if you want to help me, please rate it, please review it, please share it, anything you can do. And remember, love does heal all. Till next time.
Hit subscribe if you don't want to miss out on more life-changing content. And if you're struggling, you don't have to. Go to bradchandler.com/contact. There, you can join the Facebook community of like-minded entrepreneurs, and you'll see a button to schedule your freedom and happiness call. See you on the next episode.